2006. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and we have a wonderful show for you today. It's great to have this returning guest with me. Every time my guest that I'm going to bring on in a moment is with me, she leads us to all kinds of new facts, new truth, and new understanding of the things that have affected all of us. I asked her specifically in a private phone call to maybe talk about a few of the forerunners of our information. And one of the people that I have found powerful in this fight, aside from my guest, was a woman named Carol Valentine. And when I went to her site, it was interesting that some of the people that she brought forward were people like Eustace Mullins. And one of the people that I put on my website recently, which I think all of you have gotten a great charge out of, it was a powerful, the information that came out of what this person wrote was powerful. It's all a codification of the Talmud, of the information that preceded Eustace Mullins' research with Ezra Pound. And this guest that I have today is knowledgeable about all these things plus. Her name is Lorraine Day. She's a doctor. She's a surgeon. She is a person who understands health in ways that most people don't. And I want to bring her on right now. Are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Well, Lorraine, it's great to have you here. You know, the fact is, Eustace, when he comes on the show, he drops all kinds of pearls of wisdom. And some of the forerunners of this information, like Ezra Pound and others, have brought most of this information back to us. How is it that most of this information over 40, 50 years has not found wide circulation?
Well, the main reason is because the history books have been changed, certainly in America. There has been removal of many of these books from libraries. There have been removal of many of these books from bookstores. The people who run the New World Order own most of the bookstores, just as they own the media. And the Rockefeller Foundation and the other foundations, Carnegie and Mellon and various foundations, at least 50 or 60 years ago in America, hired young men out of Yale and Princeton and various other hotshot colleges and universities to rewrite the textbooks. So the children, you get another generation, the children aren't learning anything about what really happened. They never know what really happened in World War I or World War II or the founding of America or European history or anything else. And so the victors in battles rewrite history, and they start taking the books that will tell people what history really was about out of the libraries, out of the schools, and out of the bookstores.
Well, you know, one of the people that we promote big heavily on this network, the French Connection, is Benjamin Friedman, and Benjamin Friedman back early on recounted his own experience with the signing of the documents for for the Balfour. And he talked about Morgenthau. He talked about Brandeis. He talked about getting people to come over to Britain and actually sell America out to this Jewish Zionist conspiracy. And when he came clean on all this stuff, people didn't listen to him either.
Oh, that's right. Well, they called him a self-hating Jew. And the same thing happened with Myron Fagan. You may be familiar with Myron Fagan.
Yes.
He also exposed much of this in the 40s and 50s and showing that McCarthy was actually a hero to America. He was pointing out the Zionist Jewish communist cabal, not only in Hollywood, but in our government. And now, even to this day, even among patriots, unfortunately, in America, McCarthyism is a dirty word, when McCarthy was really a hero and was fighting all of this.
That's right. And interesting, isn't it, that some of the people that actually sold him out were directly related to the Zionist conspiracy. In other words, he put his faith in some of his staff, and it was these very people who ended up destroying him.
Well, that's right. He, the Zionist Jewish cabal seems to infiltrate almost everything. If you have an organization greater than about three, they're going to infiltrate it and try to turn it upside down.
Well, we've also put on our site a guy named Harold Wallace Rosenthal.
Oh, yes.
And boy, did this guy spell it out. And I mean, the arrogance, the hubris in this man. And this seems to be indicative of the way that they approach the goy, as it were. And I don't use that as I am a goy, so I certainly don't use that as a pejorative. The fact is that these people don't believe that we're smart enough to figure this out, do they?
Well, that's right, and I'll tell you why. I tell you why. In a way, they're correct, because the average non-Jew does not think in the way that the Jews think. They don't think about how to make money every moment of the day. They don't think about how to cheat somebody else and steal from them. Now, I'm not suggesting that every single Jew is like that, but that is their culture. That is the culture of the Talmud. And the reason that they have been kicked out of virtually every country in the world, certainly in Europe, is that they would not mingle with the general population. They were there to fleece them.
And
that's right. To steal from them and to cheat them. And we have to really get down. I know that you are not a Christian. I am a Christian. But we have to realize that this is the great controversy between good and evil. This is the great controversy between those who are raised in a Christ-like manner, even if they are not Christians, if they are raised in a country that has had Christian principles such as do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. That is not a part of the Talmud. The Talmud has taken the Bible and Christian principles and turned it upside down. Now, there are many people in America who are not Christians, but they were raised with at least that ethic.
I call it the golden rule. Right. It's a simple premise that you wouldn't want anyone to injure you in any way that you would do unto them, and it's a simple concept.
Well,
but yet it seems to be missing or lacking in these people.
Well, that simple concept came from Jesus Christ. And so it is a Christian philosophy. Not every Christian behaves like that, I'll tell you that, and that's unfortunate. But the whole point is they are the ones who not only killed Christ originally, but they are the ones who are trying to kill Christianity and Christians, true Christians, who have that kind of mindset. So the average Christian a person raised in a Christian country cannot even fathom that people are sitting around trying to destroy other people, trying to cheat them and steal from them. So they depend, Harold Rosenthal himself said, we depend on this naivete of the goodness of Christians not to believe that we can be so bad.
Well, and it's astonishing that as soon as he came out with this, mysteriously was eliminated, wasn't he?
Not too mysteriously. Went down in an airplane and had a bullet in his head.
Not
real mysterious.
Well, and I mean, so many others have fallen like him. Interesting, though, when we look at this, I see so many other people that have come forward as well. And I'm talking about people like Israel Shamir and others. a guy named Vanunu, a huge hero. This man spent 18 years in prison from the Jewish community, and so many Jews themselves have looked at their own community and said, this is an abomination. This is awful. This is criminal. This is sick. And, of course, they're vilified or killed or destroyed as well, aren't they?
Well, that's right. Vanunu and as you said, Friedman and Myron Fagan, they all call them self-hating Jews. When Jews expose the evil of the Talmudic culture, which is the culture in which Jews are raised, they're raised to hate and be afraid of Gentiles, if you will. Again, if you look at my website, which is one of the websites I have, is www.goodnewsaboutgod.com. I have
and give the other ones too right now while you're at it.
Yeah, I have two websites. One is on health, which is www.drday.com, drday.com, mm-hmm. which will show you how you can remain healthy through the terrible things that are coming.
Yep.
And then the other one is goodnewsaboutgod.com, and I show that they are raised with this philosophy that they are better than everybody else and that they are better than the Goyim. But actually, on that website, I have a Bible study called Who is Israel? Who is the Church? Where I show that the majority of those who are self-professed Jews in the world have no Semitic blood in them.
That's
they
right.
are Khazars, and I think that a lot of people who are patriots who are listening to programs like this know this already.
Yes.
So they have no right to anything, and they have the Jewish culture, and some of them have the Jewish religion. And, of course, the Jewish religion has nothing to do with love your enemies. In fact, they say about everything, never forget. If anybody's wronged you, we never wrong them. We never forget. We're only after vengeance. And, of course, that is what makes the world the evil place that it is right now.
Well, we wrote down on our website, an anti-Semite is not someone who hates Jews.
Right.
It is someone the Zionists hate.
Right, that's right. And I have that on my website, too, as well as the information from Harold Rosen. For those who are new listeners, Harold Rosenthal was the administrative assistant, he's a Jew, obviously, to Jacob Javits, who was a Jew, and the senator from New York. And what he did was he spilled the beans to a Christian writer about how much Jews hated Gentiles and how they were controlling them through their churches and controlling them in many other ways and calling them stupid and how they had only one interest, and that was to do away with them.
Well, you know, now we're looking at this right now, and these what they call neocons, isn't it funny how they define themselves? Neocon is just another name for a modern-day Zionist, and what we've got is Wolfowitz, we've got Negroponte, we've got Feith, we've got Pearl, we've got Ari Fleischer, we've got Zalkheim.
Right.
I mean, if I went on, it's unbelievable how many top people are from this group, and interesting that when you start looking behind the scenes, every single one of these people is either a dual citizen Israeli,
right.
or they are up to their eyeballs in ADL, JDL, JDO, organizational apparatchik. And I'm wondering how much of the American government is still American.
Oh, virtually none, only at kind of the lowest levels in administrative departments, people who can't do any damage to them and can be fired easily if they find out what's going on. Because the cabal is not just Jewish. The cabal is run by the Jews, but it's all also some elitist non-Jews, such as George Bush and Dick Cheney. Now, there's some question whether Rumsfeld is a Jew or not. He may be a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people, and this occurred way back with John Dee. John Dee, at least 400 years ago, when he was the head of security for Queen Elizabeth I.
Yeah.
And he was the one who brought the Jewish Zionists together with the elitist non-Jews of Europe, the royal families, etc., and getting them in on this plan to destroy everybody else and rule the world. What the non-Jew group that is part of this, like George Bush and Dick Cheney and all the others, they don't realize that when the Jews have total control, they're going to do away with them, too.
Well, I have a question for you, and you come from the San Francisco region professionally.
Right.
And I looked into a gentleman, not a gentleman, excuse me, and that was a very wrong word, a monster named Lieutenant Colonel Aquino.
Right.
Out of the MK Ultra program, the Monarch program, he is the Temple of Set leader, and he was also protected against pedophile charges in the Presidio, which was a child care center outside of San Francisco, and this guy was involved with the Johnny Gosch kidnapping and so many others. And what I understood from my research is that these people actually, in some cases, are interested in not only sex with children, but actually killing them.
Yes.
And I was shocked by this. Now, you know, not many things, Lorraine, shocked me, but when I looked beyond the veil of this subject, I was sickened by it. And I'm wondering if much of what is written about that in both John DeCamp's books and others, is this real stuff?
Yes, this is real stuff, and this actually has to do with the Scott Peterson case as well. Scott Peterson did not kill his wife and unborn son. They were actually abducted and killed. She was obviously killed much later, long after supposedly he had had any opportunity to kill her, Scott Peterson. These people and these children on milk cartons and all of these children disappearing, they are being abducted. Many of them are being abducted for pedophilia and for child sacrifice. As wild as this may sound, this is how bad it's getting, because these elitists all worship Satan, and
yep.
they do child sacrifices. Now, Michael Aquino at the Presidio Daycare Center, now that was not outside of San Francisco. That was just a couple of miles from where I lived for over 20 years. I lived at one end of the Presidio.
Yep.
The Presidio property ended at my property. I lived where I lived in San Francisco. Now, Presidio is a very long area, and it went three or four miles. And at the other end was Michael Aquino and the barracks, the old barracks for the soldiers and things like that from World War II and wars since then. Michael Aquino was actually a member first of the Church of Satan, which was run by Anton LaVey.
Right.
Anton LaVey lived two blocks from me. Okay.
Oh boy.
Anton LaVey lived two blocks from me, and when my children were growing up, I told them, you know, do not go near this man's house. It was all painted black. It had high fences around it, but it was right in the middle of a residential district, and when he would come out, he was always dressed in black. His wife and daughter were always dressed in pure white with very heavy makeup on and bright red lipstick, and they were quite a group. And when Anton LaVey died, nobody would buy his house. Nobody. They could not sell it. And finally, it had to be torn down, and nobody would buy the lot. I don't know if the lot has been bought since, but it was there is some real speculation that some horrible things went on in that house. But Michael Aquino came from that background with Anton LaVey, but he has been working for the government for a very long time. He is into mind control for the government, writing these programs that cause people to be put under mind control, into pedophilia and all of these things. And this is government approved.
Now, what we've been able to find, and I did the same research here in the Brussels region, we have pedophilia rampant in the European Union, and it's at the highest level here as well. And when we look at Washington D.C., what we find is the exact same model. And what I'm seeing here is that there are a lot of people either caught up in satanic involvement or being, brought into this as a way of extorting or controlling them. Now, I think I think it goes both ways in this situation.
What do you mean both ways?
Well, I mean I some of these people are actually participants. Others of them are actually caught. They might get slipped a Mickey, and they have a couple of children photographed with them, and then they say to them, "You're going to vote our way, or we're going to have you, and we're going to expose you."
Absolutely. Since long, J. Edgar Hoover was an expert at that. J. Edgar Hoover, of course, was a homosexual who had his homosexual partner working in the department, and he was an an expert at getting compromising pictures of almost everybody in Congress. And so they would try to set these people up, like you say. They would get them drunk, or they would slip them some drugs when they had no idea what was happening, and then they would put them in compromising positions and take pictures of them, and from then on they would control them. But there are many who are willing participants at very high levels of government.
Yeah.
We have lots of evidence that both Bushes are participants in this abhorrent behavior of some variation or another. And and so, you know, people talk about, oh, well, the Republicans are more moral than the Democrats, but at least Bill Clinton liked women.
Well, but here's the interesting thing. What we found out I had John DeCamp on 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And it's the fourth time he's visited with me. And of course, each time we dig a little deeper, and you know, John worries about his safety. He told me the other day that over 35 people around these kinds of stories have been murdered.
Yes.
I mean, this is one of the stories that they will kill you over.
Oh, well, they'll kill you if they have the opportunity. But again, you see, I don't worry about that.
No.
Nobody can touch me unless the Lord allows it. And if he allows it, nobody can stop it. So I don't worry about it.
Well, I don't shrink from the truth. It's simple. I mean, here I want to be able to tell the truth. And I worry about not being able to do it from a prison cell. Not that wouldn't help my popularity. But I wonder, you know, if I were put in prison, would I be able to continue doing my broadcast?
Well, no, of course not.
Right. Mean,
that's the way they try to shut you up. But you see, maybe somebody in prison needs to know the truth too.
That's right.
See? So I don't worry about that. If God wants me in prison,
I haven't thought of that, Lorraine. You know, maybe I need to go in and tell the truth to the people, and well, that would be a pretty captive audience as well.
That's right.
Now, you know, the interesting thing that we're getting to now is that things have degraded. You know, your professional career has allowed you to look at finances as well, because you can't run a medical operation, a medical business, a practice, as it were, without knowing how finance works. And you know as well as I do that the smoke and mirrors system in America is falling apart. We are a debtor nation, and that has happened since 1980. So what's happened since we've become the biggest debtor nation, creditor nation, to the largest debtor nation in a period of 25 years. And I'm looking at a horrible ending to this financial situation, and I think that's going to be the impetus that's going to take everything down.
Well, that's right. They are destroying America as we speak, and the plan is to make it into a third world country, because you can't get it under the auspices of the United Nations as a one part of the 10 Kingdom United Nations, which is where they're going. They're putting all of the countries into 10 kingdoms, which will be governed by appointed people, not elected people. And elections now in America are just a farce, because
yeah,
they can control the elections by remote controls to the electronic devices where you vote. And they even dumped millions of paper votes many times in order to rig elections. So
yeah,
it's just to make the people think that they have a voice in government, but they really don't. And they're going to bring us to a third world nation. That's why they're allowing unlimited immigration across the border from Mexico, because they can't control a country that is prosperous. And so they have to take all the prosperity away. By the way, Africa and South America and all these countries could be just as prosperous as the Americans have been for many years if the New World Order people, these same Zionist Jews and these same people who are connected with the supposed neoconservatives, who are all communists, if they hadn't been dabbling in these other countries, controlling what's happening there and keeping them in poverty.
Well, you're exactly right. And, you know, I've been doing broadcasts out of South Africa with a radio station in South Africa. But it's an Islamic radio station that has satellite coverage throughout the continent of Africa. And recently I found out, in fact, today I found out that the radio station has been closed down. And I found out it was because they were broadcasting my interviews.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. But, you know, all of these countries like Nelson Mandela they're just communists, and they're evil communists.
Yeah.
And they're all hooked up together with the neoconservatives and the guy who's running Zimbabwe, Mugabe. I mean, they're all puppets of this Zionist conspiracy.
Yeah. Well, what's happening, see, when they're going after Islam, it's because Islam has not permitted their sickness into their societies. In other words, women have remained part of their households. They've kept their dignity. They've kept their banking structure, which is not this fractional reserve nonsense where they, in fact, they don't allow usury. And the Zionists couldn't weasel their way into them, so they've decided to invade them. And they figured they don't have the troops for it, so let's dupe the Christians into doing it.
That's right. Well, the Zionist Jews have always had, they've always been behind the scenes, and they've always used puppets in front. They want the American military to be destroyed because, again, Israel plans to take over the United States lock, stock, and barrel, and they want to destroy the United States military in order to do that. So what better way than to send them to Iraq to get them killed, to get them contaminated with depleted uranium so they'll die of cancer and various other diseases and have deformed children and give radiation to their wives who will also get cancer and die. This is the way they do it. They have infiltrated our military with homosexuals, which has caused dissension in the troops, with women, which has caused dissensions in the troops and abuse of women.
Yep.
And they are just absolutely destroying the military of America to get it ready for the takeover, really the takeover by Israel of the United States.
Well, now, are you familiar with Kay Griggs?
Pardon?
Kay Griggs.
Yes.
Well, Kay also has been, you're in great company here. You know, Kay Griggs is a repeat customer on this French Connection program, and we're great friends. I just talked to her the other day. Kay spells out pretty clearly how badly the upper levels of the military have been bought and paid for by the Zionists and how they've been compromised with all of these sexual peccadilloes. And the fact is, it's no different than the approach they took in the Congress and in the Senate.
Right.
Well, I look at this, Lorraine, and I want to, you know, spread good news to people. The fact is, right now, 40% of the American public, in a recent poll, think that we went to war in the Middle East for Israel. Now, that is a huge change from when I started.
Right.
And I'm wondering now how to take that 40% and turn it into something where they really get the truth. And now, of course, our message is growing. We get a bigger audience all the time. But recently we found out that we are banned as a pornography site in Pittsburgh and some other places. I wonder what on my site is pornographic except the truth. You know, it's starting to grab traction here. And I think I see these people worrying a bit.
Well, they certainly are trying to close down the Internet because they know that the Internet is the only source of information that they have not yet been able to bring under their total control.
Yeah.
And so they are concerned about that. But again, if the Internet closes down, I believe that God will bring up some other way for us to get the truth out,
mm-hmm.
because he says that there is nothing hidden that will not be made known. And so that's what I believe that we're involved in, is bringing the truth. And God's not just going to open up and have it written on the sky. God's going to do it through people. And so, but people have to be unafraid, because when they start coming to take away your children, if they start coming to take away your spouse, if they start putting a gun to your head, a lot of people are going to crumble. And
yeah.
I know that there are talk show hosts in America who maybe not have had that sort of thing happen, but have had other things happen and threats, and they have compromised.
Well, and there are. And here's the interesting thing. I mean, there are talk show hosts who have used this very information we're discussing, and they've married it with alien vacations to Mars.
Right.
Take your next trip to the moon. The dark side of the moon's populated by aliens,
yeah.
alien religion. And so what they've done is they've taken facts and they've married them with foolishness, and then they put it out as a story. And, of course, you and I both know that that is done intentionally, isn't it?
Of course, it's done intentionally, because then it's like the grocery store tabloids. Most people don't realize that the grocery store tabloids have a very important place in the propaganda by the Zionist Jews. First of all the grocery store tabloids, the National Enquirer, the Globe, and all of these are owned by one man, and they're run out of the same building in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They're owned by one man. He's a Jew, and they're owned by one man. And so all of this craziness comes out. You go in the grocery store, and you'll see, you know, a four-headed baby and all these crazy, wild things. But then when a story starts coming out and people are believing something that is really true, such as their understanding that 9/11 was a government inside job, or they're now understanding that Diana was actually killed by the Zionist Jews and the royal family was all in on it because the royal family in England is Jewish and they didn't want Diana running around with a Muslim, and so they were all involved in her murder. When that starts becoming known, then the National Enquirer and one of these grocery store tabloids will start telling the truth about this. It's amazing. They'll have information in there that is actually like 80% true.
Mm-hmm.
And then when people start reading it there and they'll say, hey, they really did kill Diana, then somebody will say to them, where did you read that? And they say, well, the National Enquirer. They say, oh, that's garbage. Nothing in there is true. And that's what they use it for, to deflect criticism by publishing a lot of the truth. They never publish it all to tell that they're behind it. But that's what they do with the National Enquirer.
Are there websites like that?
Oh, I'm sure there are many websites like that.
Well, I mean, I've had to put up with people telling me to interview Jordan Maxwell. And Jordan Maxwell comes out and he says a lot of factual stuff. And then all of a sudden, he doesn't ever talk about the Jews. He doesn't talk about Zionism. But he talks about everything but that. Or I get into David Icke. He talks about everything except that they're reptiles. And then I get into this guy named Schoenbin. And Schoenbin talks about everything except, you know, this. And when I look at it, I say they're all playing from the same playbook, except they leave out the most important elements or the point in the plot that's going to get you to the next level is mysteriously absent.
Well, that another one is Len Horowitz.
Yes.
Len Horowitz talks a lot about vaccinations, gives a lot of good information, but he never tells, of course, he's Jewish, and he never tells who's really behind the scenes. I know that he knows, but he never tells, and he's a shill for the government and for the Jewish Zionist conspiracy. And yet, many Christians and many people who are interested in health hang on every word.
Yeah.
But he has a lot of good information, but he mixes error in with it or deliberately withholds the important information.
Well, you know, I've experienced this since the beginning of my career. The first time I think you were on my show was Genesis, but I was actually on RBN before that. And one of the people that I worked with, Dr. Deagle. Now, Dr. Deagle, we dug up. He's a guy that claims to be a Christian, but he's Jewish.
Uh-huh.
Interesting, you know, we talk about crypto Jews,
right.
And there are a lot of them, and we can get into that subject in a second. But the guy comes out with a lot of information that is very relevant. And see, this is how they get you duped. They tell you all this important, relevant information, but then when it really comes down to, you know, to task here, what he does is he leads you astray. He starts saying it's the black pope is running everything. Now, we know that the Catholic Church has been compromised. We know that. But it's not the black pope behind all this. There are 7 or 8 families in the Jewish community that have go back 1,000 years, Oppenheimer and Warburg, which used to be named Del Banco, and Rothschild and others, that are really at the top. And so what he's doing really is sending you down this false path. And
the other thing is that the black pope is Jewish.
Yes.
They don't seem to tell you that either. The present pope is a Jew. The previous pope was a Jew, and the black pope, the head of the Jesuits, is a Jew. And, in fact, Ignatius Loyola, who started the Jesuits, the word is that he was also Jewish.
Well, now that brings us to this next subject, crypto-Judaism, because this has been one of their most effective means of duping all of us, where they get involved, and many of our politicians change their names. Many of our stars in Hollywood do.
All of them, yeah.
Yes, all of them. And, well, you know, instead of a Jewish name, they take on a name like John Kerry, whose name's Forbes. He's Jewish.
Cohn is his name, K-O-H-N. Cohn.
That's right. Or we look into John Dean, the guy that's supposed to be running the Democratic Party. All of a sudden he says, yes, maybe I am Jewish somewhere in my past.
Yeah, right. Like Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
Oh, my word. I just found out, and Madeleine Albright, I just found out yesterday I'm Jewish.
That's right.
So, well, the rest of us have known all along, Madeleine. Interesting that you just found out.
Well, see, now, when we get into this, what we find out is a long history. This goes back centuries, all the way to Sabbatai Z, when he was forced to capitulate his Judaic beliefs to become a Muslim just to stay alive. But we also see this in the Muranos when they were forced in the Inquisition to change their religion.
But this is all out of the Talmud. This is exactly what the Talmud does. It tells you to lie if it makes your life better or if it allows you to infiltrate some organization. The Talmud tells you to lie. And this is the holiest book of Judaism. It is the holiest book. Their rabbis say it is above the Old Testament. The Jews don't really believe in the Old Testament. They believe in the Talmud. And again, when Jesus was on earth, he rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees for these false doctrines that they came up with themselves. And this is exactly what we're dealing with now. And yet the Christians in America particularly and many places around the world are starting to support the Jews as the chosen people. Evangelical Christianity has played right into their hands because of this Scofield Bible, where Scofield was hired by the Jews to put notes in the Bible to interpret it according to the Jews, to make the Jews the chosen people. And the
we talked about this guy, a guy named Dodd out of Britain, was the forerunner of the Scofield's interpretation.
That's correct. And so now the evangelical Christians are all into signs and wonders and speaking in tongues and rolling around on the floor and all of this business. This is not Christianity, folks. This is not signs of the Lord. These are demonic signs, frankly. And so since all of the other Christian denominations are dying on the vine because they don't have any real power in them because they don't know Jesus Christ, they want to get their churches full. So they're going to go for this silliness of, flopping around on the floor and all these wild healings of Benny Hinn and all of these other people, Kenneth Copeland, and all these people that are smacking them in the forehead and knocking them down. I mean, this is craziness. This is all demonic.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we looked into some of this stuff, here's the interesting thing. We've moved from in my lifetime, I think we're close in age. You may be a year or two older or a year or two younger. Mm-hmm. I'm 50. And the fact is, what I see here is, in my lifetime, I've watched the birth of pornography. I watched it.
Right.
The Behind the Green Door and Deep Throat came out when I was a teenager. And from that point till now, look where we've ended up. Look at hedonism. Look at this self-absorption of human beings. Look at the distance we have within our own families, Lorraine. Look at it. It's come on our televisions. It's come in our society. It's come everywhere. And it's a concerted effort to destroy any link we have to our Christian past. And I'll tell you, not being a Christian, however, being a Christian raised person. In other words, I've been raised in a society where the golden rule is the rule.
That's right.
And now all of a sudden, all those rules are being thrown out the window, and it's supposed to be whatever feels good. And watch this sickness, and does this titillate you? And I've watched this in my lifetime.
This is
not something that goes back a century. I've watched it happen since the beginning of the 70s till now.
That's right. It started really big time in the early 60s and mid-60s. Vatican II, and again, I agree with you that the Catholic Church is not the primary problem. It is part of the problem because it is controlled by the Zionist Jews. So they use it as a Christian front. And you will notice that they, on one hand, they will promote pedophilia in the Catholic Church and cover it up, but then they will also expose it. Because that's what they do. What they're trying to do is get Christians to lose faith in their leaders. And so they will do both the encouragement of pedophilia and then the exposure of it so the public will know, and then the encouragement of it. And so they're just going to bring down the Catholic Church this way. And again, I'm not a big fan of the Catholic Church. I do believe that there are a lot of good Catholic people around, but they're being misled by these leaders who are really quite vile at the top. But it is true that when we were young, and again, it was very kind of you to suggest that we're nearly the same age. I'm old enough to be your mother.
No way, Lorraine. 50? Come on, I'm 50. I'm starting to feel old here.
In 4 months, first of all, I just want to tell people, if you go to my website, you will see that I had severe advanced cancer, almost died. I was sick for a full 2 years before I learned how to get well. I got well without any chemotherapy or radiation, and I'm totally well and cancer-free, and I have been well. It's been 14 years since my tumor first appeared. But the same things that will prevent and cure cancer, the same natural things, are also anti-aging. And so you look at my website now, the picture that is on my website on Cancer Doesn't Scare Me Anymore was just taken a few years ago. And I am now, in 4 months, I will be 70.
Well, you look remarkably well, and I got to tell you, I didn't live a clean life as a young man. I didn't. You know, we talked privately. The fact is, in my later years here, I'm having functional problems based upon injuries. You can't abuse yourself as a teenager and as a young man without paying the price later.
That's right.
And all of these mechanical parts like knees and wrists and elbows and the rest are failing. The fact of the matter is, though, the rest of me is not terribly ill because I've adopted those principles that are on your website because I came to them. I know naturally that if I'm going to eat processed food, if I'm going to suck down cans of Coke, if I'm going to drink fluorinated water, if I'm going to take inoculations with mercury in it,
you're going to be sick.
I'm going to get sick. There's no mystery in this to me. I'm a rational human being. And yet this information has not seemed to filter down to people who need it. And the fact is, if they go to your website, they're going to get this and they're going to understand the reasons why it's so important that they listen.
That's right.
I sit here right now, and I mean, somebody got mad at me, and of course you may get mad at me. I smoke cigars, and I like them. And they told me that, you know, you should stop smoking cigars, they're going to kill you. And I said, get in line, you know, cigar. I said, it's probably a terrible thing that I smoke cigars. I said, but I think trying to live forever is a fool's pursuit. However, if you're living clean and you're living well and you have a good spirit, you know, I see people around me here in France, Lorraine, in their 90s buying cigars. Now, they didn't live a lifetime sucking down processed food with MSG and BTH and all this other stuff in it. They came off the farm. They got farm fresh eggs. They got food out of their garden. See, what's really killing us is our modern world.
You're absolutely right that the people who are 90 and 100 years old now were not raised on processed food. They didn't go to an AMPM and get a glass of Coke that was 64 ounces and a cup of coffee that was 32 ounces. If they had a cup of coffee, it was one cup in the morning.
So,
first of all, there's no reason to get mad at anybody else for smoking cigars or smoking cigarettes or even drinking. You don't get mad at them because they're going to reap what they've sown. That's the beauty of the way God has set it up, that when we abuse our bodies, we're the ones who reap. Now, if you have children, if somebody has children and they're a heavy smoker or they're an alcoholic and they're not taking care of their children, that's a different matter because they are affecting other people. But if you're abusing your own body and it doesn't affect anybody else, you're the one who's going to pay the price. So there's no reason to get mad at anybody. Some people will say, well, you know, you don't like this. What I'm saying, look, I'm just sharing the information that I have. Everybody has a right to live the way they want, as long as it doesn't hurt someone else.
So the highest number per population of people who live to be 100 are in Cuba. And what they all had in common, if they were male, was that they drank a little bit, they smoked cigars, and they never stopped working.
But see, smoking cigars does not extend your life, and drinking does not extend your life.
Well, a little red wine, I think, has been proven to help a little.
You have to look at the other things. They probably were eating much more natural because they didn't have processed food at that time and all that. So these are the things. Then you have to look at lifestyle and the amount of stress people were under and all of that.
Can we talk about antioxidants and the power of raw vegetables? And I know that broccolis and blueberries and certain foods that people can take into their bodies have remarkable properties that are so health-giving. I mean, I eat them Every day.
Actually, every kind of natural food which is made by God is powerful. We need all different kinds of variety. We don't just focus on blueberries and various things like that, because the reason that they don't know about the other vegetables and fruits and all of their wonderful qualities is because medical science frequently doesn't have the minutiae of the testing to find out what is there. When I was in medical school, the professors were ridiculing people who said that vitamin E in food was good for you. They said there is no known reason for or use for vitamin E in the body. Well, that was, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now, scientists do know, and it wasn't that now the body needs vitamin E. It always needed vitamin E, but the scientists were so stupid they hadn't figured it out yet. There are many other things in many different kinds of foods that we need for our health that scientists do not understand yet. So that's why we need to go and eat the Garden of Eden.
Can we cook out the quality of food? I mean, oftentimes I see people turning food into mush, and I spent early part of my life as a chef, and I worked in kitchens in New York and other places, and one of the best ways of serving the best vegetables was al dente. In other words, you didn't want to destroy some of the most important qualities of that food and turning it into a mush. And I wonder, can you leach out quality out of food? I always believed that you could.
If you cook food at all, if you cook it, if it goes, I think it's above 106 degrees, you will destroy all the enzymes in the food. Now, if you cook it to mush, you will also destroy some of the vitamins and minerals. They will leak out into the fluid that you don't put in the food to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but if you cook it at all, you will destroy all the enzymes. When you destroy the enzymes, the body then has to make the enzymes in order to digest that food. God has put the enzymes in the food that will help you to digest that food without you having to make them yourself. It is estimated that in order to make the enzymes in your body to digest 3 meals of cooked food a day, it is the equivalent of doing 8 hours of hard labor. And that's one reason that people are suffering from chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. So the food was meant to be eaten raw.
Yeah.
And if you can sprout bean seeds and grains, and if you do that, you will increase their food value up to 600% over cooked bean seeds and grains.
Yeah.
And so there was no stove in the Garden of Eden.
Well, it, all of what you just said makes perfect sense to me. I've spent my life looking on how to benefit from food. I love food. Food is my, aside from working so hard at doing this, food is my world. And I'll tell you something, I try to eat everything out of my own garden, and if it can't come from my garden, I want to know where it came from. And I got to say that, even eating meats in moderation, I mean, a lot of people say don't eat any. I don't know that that's the best plan either. I eat things, especially meat, in a moderate sense. But
you think you want arsenic in moderation is not really good for you either. In my workbook called Getting Started on Getting Well, I have 17 pages of abstracts from the finest medical journals showing the immense association between eating of meat, poultry, fish, dairy, and eggs, and virtually every kind of disease. The reason that we have so much cancer in America and in other places in the world is because we have changed from mainly a vegetable-based diet to an animal product-based diet. Over the years from 1909 to 1985, the incidence of cancer in America went from 1 out of 33 to 1 out of 3, and now it's 1 out of 2. And there is tremendous association. Now, there are other things also that contribute to cancer: stress, dehydration. People are not drinking enough water, and they're drinking caffeinated soda and coffee. Caffeine is a diuretic. It takes more water out of your body than comes in with a drink. So does alcohol. And alcohol kills brain cells and it kills liver cells. It's actually a toxin. And people say, oh, well, there are antioxidants in wine. Well, there are antioxidants in dog feces too. You don't eat them just because there's some antioxidants in them. You have to look at overall what does this do to your body? Besides, if you drink alcoholic beverages, it decreases your ability to make proper decisions, and if you drink them in excess, it makes you stupid. You act stupid. So, I mean, who wants to do that to their brain?
Well, sometimes I do. But, you know, we don't want to go there at the moment. You know, Lorraine, I got to tell you something. This battle that we've been fighting, and you've been at it much longer than I have, and I applaud you for that. I've only been at this for 2 years, and it's amazing that the stuff that I've discovered in 2 years, and the people who have, I found allies in places I never thought that I would. And Eric Hufschmidt, myself, Christopher Bolin, and others are, and yourself and so many others are working night and day at this. And you know, we are starting to get traction, but also we're vilified on this internet. Now, if my listeners are the people listening right now, how are they supposed to know that I'm on the level here? I mean, you know, I try to tell them, look, trust me. But isn't that what they all say?
Well, that's it. The thing is, the only way you can really know what is real truth, again, is to have wisdom. Have wisdom. There's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is facts gained through our five senses. Seeing, hearing, observing, tasting, touching, and all that. That's how we obtain facts. And that can be done by anybody. It can also be done by very evil people. But wisdom is the ability to take those facts and reach the right conclusion, such as understanding the 10 natural laws of health and realizing that when you damage your body by not adhering to these laws, you're going to get sick. You can't understand that very well or at all unless you have wisdom. And all wisdom comes from God. Only place you get wisdom is from God. Now, fortunately, God has not left any of us. But when people deal in deception and deceit and cheating and lying and stealing, they turn their back on any possibility of getting wisdom.
Yeah. So, well, you know, I deal with people like our, you know, the listenership here. We've actually moved away from this Patriot community because I got to tell you, by and large, they're so mucked up with nonsense in most cases that I don't think we're getting the right traction there. I think what we need to do is find inroads into some fresh people so that we can expand this. But that particular community is so mired and so destroyed by nonsense. Sometimes it shocks Eric and myself when we read it. We can't believe what they'll fall for.
Well, first of all, they've also been infiltrated. They've been infiltrated by the Zionist Jewish cabal. That's number one.
Yeah.
Secondly, many of the patriots are Christians. Not all, but many of them are Christians. And the entire Christian church in the world worships a killer God. You can go on my website at goodnewsaboutgod.com and see the information. God is not a killer God, but they have made him out to be. The Christian church says, well, you know, God is going to destroy you if you don't do exactly what he says, and he's going to burn you in hell forever. Well, if that is true, then whatever happened to this love your enemies and do good to them that hate you?
Mm-hmm.
And so the organized Christian church has been worshiping a killer God who is not the God of the Bible. That is Satan. It's the same group that is worshipped by the Zionist Jews, the Freemasons, the Rosicrucians, the Club of Rome. All of these organizations actually worship Satan, because if you don't worship God, who is not a killer, when Jesus was on earth, he never killed or hurt anybody, and he was the exact express image of God. So I'm not suggesting, for those of you who are listening who might be Christians, that God is going to save people in their sins, but he's not going to destroy his children indefinitely and burn them. That is a satanic, demonic God. And so if you want to know more information about that, and this is really the essence of the major controversy that we are dealing with, is the relationship between good and evil. That's what it is. It is truth versus lies.
Well, you know, I've looked into somebody tried to gobbledygook me into thinking that evil doesn't exist. And what they said was that there are people out there who are sociopaths. They're
but
ill.
Are they living in a hole or something?
Well, no. He said that there are people who do terrible things, but they do it for reasons. And reasons are not evil. There are sicknesses, and there are sociopaths, and there are psychopaths, and there are ill. There are people who have reasons to try to be dominant or try to have political ends. And those are the reasons, whether or not their actions are deemed immoral, it doesn't mean it's evil. And I said to him, in my investigation of what has been happening, evil in fact does exist, and people can be consumed by the drives to be evil. I've seen it. I've looked at it. I know it's real.
All you have to do is watch them on a videotape. Roll over Rachel Corrie,
yes,
with a bulldozer, and you know that evil exists. And then,
well, you're talking about the killing zone.
Pardon?
There's a video called The Killing Zone that talks all about that. Yeah.
Of course. Yes. There is evil, and anybody who, again, you know, what it would be great is if the great adversary, Satan, said, I don't exist. There's no such thing as evil. And many even non-Christians want to say, well, Satan doesn't exist. That's just a figment of the imagination. There is some bad force in the world. But I can tell you, the demonic things are coming out. There are people who, now that psychics and all are available on the internet, some of those people are fraud, some of them are con men and women, but many of them are really hooked up with demonic forces. So that there are going to be demons living with on our lands soon, openly. The preparation for that are things like Beauty and the Beast. And all of these little, even Star Wars and Star Trek, and you have all of these ugly little beings, which are really cool, or a beautiful woman loves an ugly man, and all of this thing. They're getting people ready to have these ugly beings living among us and say they're okay.
Well, I've looked at all of this stuff, and the fight that I'm battling right now is an attempt to make this a more widely accepted truth. And we've had success, we've had failures. The fact is that we try to keep putting the story out in different forms, and try to attract as many people as we can. It's worked so far. The success of your business and the success of your websites are testament to the fact that more people are paying attention. Where do we go from here, Lorraine? I ask you this each time you visit, but sometimes, you know, you may drop a new pearl of wisdom on us, and where do we go from here?
Well, you and I have a very different philosophy about where we're going, because yours is from the point of view of how do we get to more people. Certainly, I think it would be nice to get to more people, but I have the biblical view, which says things are going to get worse and worse, and people, as they reject truth, will become more and more deluded until this all really hits the fan big time, because man is incapable of ruling himself. Man's hearts are desperately wicked, and the only goodness that we have in us comes because God is close enough to us that we have some goodness from him rub off on us. And it's not going to get better. I don't worry about attracting huge crowds. I just try to make sure that I stand for the truth. And God will take care of the rest, because if you understand Revelation, and I do not interpret Revelation as the evangelical Christians do, and they do it from sense knowledge, you can go on my website at Good News About God, and I'm putting up Revelation studies all the time there. You can see that it's all going to come crashing down. But the only hope is to understand Christ's principles and learn to love your enemies, and that's the only place that there is any safety. And not worry, because fear can cause sickness. I have seen people die from anger, from fear, because it destroys your body. And so if people are afraid, they're constantly afraid, and the things that are going to be occurring are going to be horrific. There's going to be a time of trouble that has never been seen since the biblical flood, which destroyed the earth. And so everything is going to get worse and worse. You talked about how it is in your lifetime. I've lived another 20 years over you. It has been night and day changed in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And so it's, you don't see it turning around and getting better.
No, I don't. No, I don't. In fact, recently, with this nonsense about the aristocrats and talking about incest and taking a diaper off your child and I mean, if you've seen this, I wanted to vomit. And then talking to teenagers, talking to young people and have them laugh about it, this frightens me.
Yeah.
This kind of when you hear the sickness spewed in this stuff, and then you hear young people going, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I find no humor in it at all, and I just want to say, what has happened to the people? Where are their brain? What happened to their brain? And Eric says, geez, look, watch television. Neither Eric nor myself, we don't watch TV, neither one of us.
No. Well, TV is not only propaganda, but they're using subliminal programming, and it is just filth. It is filth.
It's filth.
Sometimes I'm exposed to it when I go to the gym and they have the thing up there. I don't have it. I don't listen to it, but you'll see it in front of you, and
yep.
You can see how filthy it has become. So this is not going to turn around because man is incapable of pulling himself up by his own bootstraps. That's why it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and the only one that can turn it around is the Lord. He's the only one. And again, I realize that you're not a Christian. I happen to be a Christian. I was an agnostic for most of my adult life until I saw what was going on in the world. I was raised a Christian. I threw it away because I said, I don't want to be with a God who's going to burn up his kids. I would never burn up my kids. I don't want to be with someone to burn up his kids. But he's not like that. He's not going to do that. That is a doctrine of the organized church, which is not of God. And so the only one who can turn this around is the Lord.
Well, you know, in my estimation and what I've read about Scripture, God does appoint people to do his destroying. He has given Joshua the power. He has given many in his history the power to destroy.
We're looking at Israel. If you look at the very beginning, and these studies are all on my website, when God brought the Israelites, not Jews, by the way, they were just sons of Israel, whose name was Jacob, and he was changed to Israel's a spiritual name. When God brought them out of Egypt, they came out with no implements of war whatsoever. God was going to fight for them, and he was going to fight in a totally different way than humans fight. He was going to run the Canaanites out with bees and hornets. Nobody would get hurt. They would just leave. And so, and he loves all of his children. He just has a point that he's trying to make so people can see how evil can get. It was the Israelites who wanted to take up arms. And so people give God a bad rap by saying, oh, God is this and God is that. Jesus came to show us what God is really like, and he never hurt anybody. In fact, he allowed his children that he created to kill him. So that's where we've got to look. Everybody's looking at Israel and how evil Israel became, and they're saying, God approves of this killing. No, Jesus had to come to show us that God is not like that.
Mm.
And so what we've got to do is, you know, if killing your enemies does anything, then why are we in the mess we're in? We've killed all of our enemies, and we're going to go kill more that aren't even our enemies. That never does it. What really works is to love your enemies and to do good to those who hate you. In the end, that's the only thing that will change hearts.
Well, I'm going to leave it there. We do have a different philosophy, and my philosophy is that I don't have an interest in killing. I have an interest in eliminating, and that is a completely different approach. I want to eliminate my enemies, not kill them. And now there are many approaches to elimination. We can do it through persuasion. We can do it through many ways. Now, whether or not we're successful in eliminating our enemies is going to be left up to history. It seems as though we have a big fight in front of us. I do want to say this, though, that the work that you've done in health and the work you've done with reading people like Ezra Pound and Eustace Mullins and Elizabeth Dilling and so many others, it's a wealth that every single person listening, Lorraine, has access to. They've got access through the internet, through my website, through yours, through Carol Valentine, so many places that they can learn the facts. And I urge them to read and use their minds to find the wisdom that is hidden in there for them.
That's right. You know, Abraham Lincoln said just what you said a minute ago, and he said, someone asked him, why are you so nice to your enemies? And he said, if I'm nice to them, they're no longer my enemies. They become my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we do now, we will still have a lot of enemies because before this thing is all played out, most of the world will be our enemies. Revelation tells us that. But again, we're supposed to be lights shining for truth. We're supposed to be light shining to love our enemies and to do good to those who hate us and to spread righteousness, goodness. Righteousness is nothing more than right doing. And we're to do right and not to spread. The real ones who are spreading the hate crimes are the Zionist Jews. They hate the Arabs. They hate Christians. They hate just about everybody.
That's right.
So they're the ones who are should be up there in the dock for hate crimes. But they accuse everybody else of doing what they're actually doing.
Well, my support is always with you. My hopes are always with the people that go to your website and look for relief. I hope that they find what they're looking for. And, you know, the truth about the things you share, especially health and all of these other things, are always an inspiration to me and the people that listen to this program. And I want to thank you, Lorraine. Every time you come on, I feel good after you get off the radio with me, and I enjoy it. I mean, look, we don't have a long history, but there's one developing here, and I got to tell you, I enjoy it.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoy talking with you, too.
Well, until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling each and every one of you to be well, and I'll talk to you all soon. Bye-bye now.